Turn our Bibles together for our Bible study this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians. If you'll join me there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll read just one verse together to get us started in our Bible study today. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Let's pray together. Lord, as always, we're trusting you today to open the scriptures to our understanding and to impart spiritual life as you feed our soul on the Word of God. We thank you for this food that you have prepared for us today. Indeed, Lord, you give us this day our daily bread. And as we partake of it, Lord, may we grow strong in faith. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually going to wrap up the series we've been doing. Now, this is the 13th week that we've been talking about. We started a series of messages. Actually, we started this verse of Scripture way back 3 months ago now. We started with this verse of Scripture, and we've been doing a series that we've entitled Destined to Win, talking about how God always wants us in every way and in every area to be triumphant, to be overcomers, and to be victors in life. God wants us to be winners in life. It's all about the fact that God loves us. It's the fact that God is on our side and that God cares about us and God has good things in store for us. I want to just go back and read, if we can together, a bunch of the scriptures that we've been reading over all these weeks together that emphasize this idea about victory on a daily basis for us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm just going to invite you to turn to a bunch of scriptures with me this morning as we read together. We're going to start mark that verse we read there in 2 Corinthians. We'll come back to it in a few minutes. But if you'll turn to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 28, and I want to read several from the Old Testament and then a couple again remind you of some from the New Testament. All of these verses of scripture that tell us that God has a plan that leads to victory and success for us as His children, even in this lifetime, as we follow after Him with all of our heart. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. The Bible tells us here, Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, now it shall be. How many of you know if God says, if it shall be, it will be? And God says, it shall be if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. So He starts off talking to Israel as a nation, and He says, if you'll follow me, you're going to be the premier nation among all the nations of all the earth. All of these blessings, He says in verse 2, will come upon you and overtake you. Blessings overtaking us. I like to be run down by some blessings today. Wouldn't you like to be run down by some blessings from the Lord? All of these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemy who rises against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. Victory. The Lord will command the blessing upon you and your barns and in all that you put your hand to do. He will bless you in the land in which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see. I want you to notice this. Because here's the point, and I'm going to get to this in just a little while. But here's the point. Brother and sister, it's not just about us being blessed. That's not the end in itself. Okay? That's not the end in itself. God wants to bless us, but that's not the end in itself. Notice he says, so all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. In other words, the world will look at you and they'll recognize the blessing of the Lord, the provision of God, the care of the Lord on your life. Here's what he's telling them. Your life will become to the world a witness of me. Brother and sister, that's why God wants to bless us, so that the world can see his goodness upon our lives and through our lives, so that that will draw them to him. And that's what God wants to do. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, the offspring of your beast, the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations and shall not borrow. Man. Well, that preaches in our day and time, won't it? Lending to nations instead of borrowing. Well, let's not go there. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You only will be above. You will not be underneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, to observe them carefully. Do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Look over the very next book in your Bible. It's the book of Joshua. And there's a passage that we've read here in the first chapter. Joshua chapter 1, let me read it for you quickly, verses 7 through 9. Joshua is going to lead the children of Israel into this promised land so that they can experience all of these blessings that God has just promised to the children of Israel through Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. And so he tells Joshua, as he is preparing the children to lead them into the promised land, he says in verse 7 of Joshua chapter 1, he says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law, which Moses, same thing Moses said, isn't it? Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. That's victory all the time, church. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. God's giving us the keys, church. God's telling us what we need to do to have a victorious life on a day-to-day basis. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The psalmist tags into that same philosophy in Psalm 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Moses said, keep the law of God. Do things God's way. Joshua says, remember what Moses taught us when we get there. Let's do things God's way. The psalmist says, delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Do things God's way. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, eternal life, and whatever he does, he prospers. Success, victory, and abundant life. Look at another one in the Old Testament from the book of Isaiah in chapter 54. Through the prophet, God promises, and he says, in righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. Verse 17, Isaiah 54, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, And their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. God says, I have a people. I have children, and I have given them an inheritance. And that inheritance is victory over all of their enemies. No weapon formed against my children will ever prosper as long as they are following after me with all of their heart. Turn over to the New Testament now with me, to the book of Romans. He said, in righteousness you will be established, far from fear. You will not be oppressed. Victory because of our relationship with the Lord. Romans chapter 5. In verse 17, Paul writes and says, for if by one transgression, the transgression of the one, this is Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, if for by that one transgression death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, which comes to us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, watch, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Stephanie already read the passage of Scripture for you in Romans chapter 8. If God's for you, who can be against you? Nothing can separate you from God. God's on your side. God cares about you. God's in your corner. 1 Corinthians 15:57 tells us, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And 1 John 5:4 says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he tells us that whatever we go through, whatever test or trial or obstacle we face, he said, grace will always be there to provide for you the way out of those circumstances so that you overcome and live victoriously. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, if we stand firmly in our faith, God's grace will ultimately perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. In John, and in Romans, in Acts, in Ephesians, in Galatians, almost every book of the New Testament, Paul makes it clear to us that you and I have a holy companion who goes through life with us, who dwells within us, who empowers us and leads and guides us so that we know the way of victory and have the ability to overcome every test and trial. We have the Holy Spirit. John says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The divine helper who can do the impossible and turn everything for good, who gives us weapons of warfare to make us, listen, to make us the church triumphant, because God wants us to be victorious in every circumstance in life. It's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Paul told us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4, Paul said, in every circumstance, I overcome. Through every test and trial, he said, I've been victorious. God has taken care of me, and God has watched over me. And we've learned as a result of that, as a result, our attitude when we're going through life, and even though we do stumble sometimes in life, and we do fall, and things don't always go perfectly, the Bible never said you'll never have problems. The Bible said you'll be victorious over problems. There is a difference, you understand. See, we all like that victory. We all like that place of victory. We all like the mountaintop. We just don't want the struggle it's going to take to get there. But listen, that just makes us stronger. That just makes us stronger for the next one. But the promise is victory. The promise is this. Even though we may stumble, God has our hand. God has our... You know, when I read that, just thinking about that just this morning, I thought about the story of Peter in the New Testament where it talks about Peter in the boat. And he and the disciples are in the boat and the storms come and the wind's blowing and the waves crashing and they're all fearful they're going to die and they're going to drown. And they look out and they see this mysterious figure walking across the lake on top of the water. And Peter calls out to Jesus and he says, Jesus, if that's you, who else would it be? If that's you, bid me to come on the water. Well, what's Jesus going to say? No, Peter's not me. Just stay where you are. He said, no. He said, Peter, it's me. Come on out and join me on the water. And Peter stepped over the side of that boat and stepped out on the water and walked on the water. And you know what's unfortunate is when we think about that story, usually the part that we think about is when Peter begins to look around him. And he begins to see the waves crashing all around. And he begins to hear the wind whistling in his ear. And he has that moment of doubt. And the Bible says that when he does, he begins to sink in the water. And that's typically what we think about Peter when we think about this story. But the Bible says that when he began to sink in the water, he cried out to Jesus and called on the Lord to save him. And Jesus reached out and took him by his hand and lifted him up. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says Peter and Jesus walked back across the water and got back in the boat. Jesus had him. Jesus, listen, maybe Peter stumbled. Maybe Peter had moments of doubt. But listen, when he had those moments of doubt, he had the wisdom to cry out to Jesus. He called on the name of the Lord, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus reached out and took Peter by the hand and lifted him up out of the water. And Peter walked with him. They strolled again on top of the water back over to the boat and got back in it. Jesus has us, brother and sister, the same way. When you feel like you're sinking, when you feel like life is about to take you under, cry out to Jesus. Lift your hand to Jesus. Jesus has got us. Jesus has us. That's why Micah tells us our attitude in life, even though sometimes we struggle, even though we stumble, sometimes we fall, even though we feel like we're, listen, our attitude in life should always be, don't rejoice over me, my enemies. Though I may fall, I will arise. I will rise back up. God's got us. God's got us, brother and sister. And we need to remember that God is on our side. We've talked about winning in every area of life. We've talked about winning where our marriages are concerned. Winning where finances are concerned. Winning over sin and over grief. Winning over negative attitudes and strongholds and addictions that would take us bondage and keep us defeated in life. Winning over a spirit of unforgiveness that would separate us from the power of God and keep God from doing what He wants to do in our life. Winning by living our lives in constant communion with the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 18. In our English Bible it says simply, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pretty simple. Not quite as full as the original intent. The original language says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a continual state of fulfillment and being full of the Spirit of God. In fact, it says, be being filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're to live our lives under the control and under the influence. In fact, he starts the verse by saying, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, if you're getting drunk with wine, you're living under the wrong influence. Don't live under the influence of wine. Live under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God and live under His influence in your life continually in your life. We live in victory when we live in constant communion with the Holy Spirit. We live in victory when we live in constant unity with the Lord Jesus Christ. He taught us in John chapter 15, He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And you must abide continually in me so that life can flow into you. Just like that branch needs to stay attached to that vine so that life can flow into it and fruit can be produced on it. You and I need to be in constant unity with the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that His life can flow through us and so that His fruit can be produced in us, praise God. In communion with the Holy Spirit, in unity with Jesus. Jesus, listen, the reason that the Apostle Paul lived a life of victory, the reason that he could say at the end of his life, through every circumstance, God was there and God gave me victory. The reason that he could say that is because he chose to live the way Jesus said to live. Paul would say in Galatians 2 and 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He said, it's not me, it's Jesus that's living this life. I'm in constant communion with Him in the Spirit of the Lord so that His life is continually being poured into me. And that's the life that you're seeing. And brother and sister, you and I, we look at the lives of the people of the Bible and we see their victory. And we see the miracles and we see the power and we see the things that God did in their lives. And we go, wow, look at what God did for David. And look what he did in Moses. And look what he did for Abraham. And look how he blessed Peter and James and John and Paul. Look at the miracles they did. Look at all of these things that happened for them. We thought, wow, it's so awesome. And God says, every bit of that is available to you as my child today. But brother and sister, listen, if we're going to experience what they experienced, if we're going to get what they got, we've got to live like they lived. Completely, totally sold out to Jesus. Nothing else mattered to those men of the New Testament. Living for God was the only thing that mattered to Abraham and to Moses and those great people in the Old Testament. David is a man after God's own heart. Abraham was a man that God blessed and made him filthy, stinking rich with material things. Why? Because Abraham didn't give two hoots for any of it. Abraham's heart was after God. The Bible said that he left home looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. I'm convinced that Abraham, when God called him out of the Chaldees to follow him to that promised land, I'm convinced that he was thinking of his ancestor. Who walked out one day and just disappeared. And the Bible said that he walked with God and he was pleasing to the Lord and he was so pleasing to God that God just took him. Man went for a stroll and never came back. Went off to be with God. Lived with him forever. And God wants us to have that kind of attitude of heart. And if we're going to experience the things that these people experienced, if we're going to see their blessings, if we're going to know that power, we've got to live that life. We've got to be sold out in the same kind of way to experience what they experienced. And again, go back over to where we started in 2 Corinthians. And I already made the point, but let me make it again so I can drive it home. The point of all of this, the point of all of these blessings, the point of talking about all of the things that God wants to do in our lives as the people of the Lord. Listen, if you don't hear this part, if you don't get this part, the last 13 weeks have been a waste of time. The reason that God wants to do all of the things that He wants to do in our lives, it's to change our hearts and to change our lives and to change our world. Why? So that then through us, He can change the world. Brother and sister, we are here today so that God can use us to change the world. God wants to change the world through us. But listen, part of the problem in the church today, you know why the church is so ineffective today? I heard a testimony in the last couple of weeks about a preacher who came to America from the underground church in China, and they were taking this gentleman to show him some of the mega churches, to show off, you know, some of the mega churches that we have in the United States with all the tens of thousands of people that go to them. And they took this gentleman and showed him these churches, and they got the talented musicians, and they've got the big light shows and the high tech this and that and all the stuff, you know, and it's quite a big production that they put on, and they showed him all this stuff, and they asked him, well, what do you think about the church in America? And this man said, his response was this. He says, it's amazing how much you Americans have been able to do without the Holy Spirit of God. Are you kidding me? Without the Holy Spirit of God. It's just a show, church. It's just a show. It's just a show. See, we have focused on the technique. We've learned the methodology. We've memorized the system. But we don't have the relationship that's the key. We don't have the power that really makes it all work. And without the power, brother and sister, all we're producing is just a huge social club. And how many of you understand the church is not a social club? The church is not an organization. The church is an organism. It's the living body of Christ. And there's a difference. There's a difference. And we've learned the technique. And we've learned all this stuff. That's not what Jesus said to do. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Jesus walks by the seashore and he sees Peter and Andrew, and they're fishermen. And they've been out fishing. And Jesus says this. Now, he's met them before, and they've heard of the Lord. And they've seen Jesus and his miracles. And so Jesus, it's come to the time when he's going to call them to the ministry. And he looks at these two men in the boat, and he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Listen to what he said. First of all, he said, "Follow me." We need to be true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not spectators, followers, imitators, participants. You and I are called to participate and partnership with the life of Jesus Christ in this world. To be one with Jesus, that His life is manifesting through us. We need to be followers of Jesus. But Jesus said, when you become my follower, He says, I will make you a witness for me. Please hear this subtle distinction. Jesus didn't say, I will teach you how to witness. He said, I will make your life a witness if you follow me. See, church, our lives are supposed to be a witness. Everything about our lives, when the world looks at us, they ought to see a difference in us because we are followers of Jesus. And the very life that we live on a day-to-day basis should shout that we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's your life saying to the world today? Our lives, the Bible says, should be a living epistle read by all men. People should be able to look at us and know that we've been with Jesus. Our lives are supposed to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing to do witnessing. You can teach anybody to mimic anything. But it's something altogether different to be a witness. To be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ so that you're living a different life and the world looks at you and your old friends that used to know the way you used to be, they look at you and they say, my God, what happened to you? What is going on in your life? You're not the same as you used to be. You're a different person than you used to be. Look at what Paul said here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, watch this, and manifests through us, the swim of voice broke, manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. He manifests through us the knowledge of Jesus, the aroma of the knowledge of Jesus in every place. People ought to look at your life. Boy, when you breeze through, there ought to be such an aroma of sweetness of Jesus when you go through. That people just know because you've passed through, that's the person that's walking with the Lord. That's the person who has a different life. That's a person who's been with Jesus. I can tell just by looking at him. That person loves the Lord. Wow. What a testimony. What a witness. That's what our lives are supposed to be. Our lives are supposed to be living witnesses. As He transforms us, then our lives, because of their transformation, we change the world, you see. God changes us, and then through us, God changes the world by our living witness for Him. This is the way the world's going to be changed, brothers and sisters. It's the only way the world can be changed. It can only be changed. It can only be changed when we live for Jesus. Jesus is the only person. You know, one of these days, we've got to get over this idea, this mentality, that somehow politics and politicians are the answer to the problems of our life. They are not. They are not. I've lived over a half a century. I've seen both political parties be in power in every stage of government in Washington, D.C. And for the entire length of my lifetime, America has been on a downhill moral slide and decay. No political party and no individual in a political party has made virtually any difference whatsoever. We're just going downhill, and it's because we're rejecting God. God's the one we need to be voting for, church. And voting with our lives and the way that we live them. That's the only thing that can change our world. It's the only thing that can change our society, is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you and I, by the victory, listen, we live in a union with Jesus. As a result of that union, we live in victory. As a result of that victory, we become a witness. As a result of being a witness, others see what we got and they want it. As a result of them seeing what we've got and wanting, they come to Jesus. And what happens? Jesus changes their lives. And then they become witnesses. And then more people see the witness and more people come to Jesus. And more people's lives are changed. And that's how the world will be changed. And that's how society will be transformed, by the power of the Spirit of the living God being manifest through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why, brother and sister, God wants you and me to be winners in every area of life. To be winners financially. That doesn't mean all of us multimillionaires, but He wants us all to be handling money wisely, to have the things that we need to live in this life, and to have enough to be a blessing to somebody else. You know, there's enough. There's enough greed and selfishness and materialism and stinginess going on in the world. It doesn't need to go on in the church too. And the world needs to see a difference. The world, listen, you know what the world needs to see? The world needs to see a church that trusts its God more than it trusts its pocketbook. The world needs to see that. And we need to show it to them. The world needs to see marriages that stand firm no matter what happens in them. The world needs to see marriages that don't cut and run when things get hard. Anybody can do that. Doesn't take anybody to just quit. Quitting's the easy thing. It's standing firm when things get tough and trusting God and knowing that He cares. That's what's going to make a difference in our lives and in our witness. Being witnesses by the life that we lead and the victories that we win. Being winners in life and in every area of our life. It'll make us a witness for the kingdom of God that others can know Him. Our time's running out. We haven't even talked about victory in the area of our physical bodies and healing and health. I'm one that believes that Jesus is still a healer today. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand how people can believe that God is God and yet still believe that, come to a conclusion that God doesn't heal anybody anymore. I don't understand how you get there. I mean, is He God or not? You know what I'm saying? If He's God, He can heal anything. If He's God, He can do anything. Now, we don't dictate to God. God dictates to us. But God is certainly able to do anything. He's still God. And the Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He ever did it anywhere, He can still do it today. And when you read the New Testament, church, you never find a person who comes to Jesus in faith, trusting the Lord for healing, but that person doesn't receive the miracle of healing from the Lord every time. And many other, on top of that, just by the sovereign grace of God, receive healing from the Lord. But you know what, brother and sister? Even though the promise of healing is there for us, please hear me today, that doesn't give us the right to abuse our physical bodies. Somewhere down the line, we've got to learn to take responsibility for our bodies. The Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body is the temple of the living God. It doesn't belong to you anymore. The Bible says you've been bought with a price. And you belong to God. Your body belongs to God. So glorify God with your spirit and your body, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or maybe 2 Corinthians. But it all belongs to God. It's His. It's not yours. It's not mine to abuse any way we want to anymore. You know what we believe? We still believe, and we've heard it in evangelical churches, and you've heard it in this church many, many years, that salvation is by grace, through faith, not by works. You can't earn salvation and blessings and things like that. You know what? We still believe we can. I'll prove it to you. We think we can treat our bodies any way that we want to, put as much junk and stuff in our bodies and things that more than what ought to go in there, and a whole lot of it, the wrong stuff that ought to go in there. And then, you know, when it breaks down, we just run to God and pray, and God will heal it. It doesn't work that way, church. We're making a mockery of our covenant relationship with God when we don't take responsibility to take care of our bodies to begin with. God never says we can just, you know, smoke like a freight train, and then if we get emphysema or cancer, we can run off and pray somewhere, and God will heal it. God didn't promise that. Or we can drink like a fish, and when our liver rots out, we can pray for God to heal it, and God will give us a miracle. God never promised that. Bible doesn't say we can eat all the sugar and the cookies and all the snacks that we want, and you know, when we get big and fat and ugly and we have diabetes, we can pray and God will heal that. The Bible, listen, church, we've got to be responsible for ourselves. We think we can treat our bodies any way that we want to, and then we can run over to the prayer closet and earn, through the good work of prayer, the blessing of God of healing on our life. And you can't earn it. You can't earn it. It comes to us by grace, and it comes to us by faith. And true faith, brother and sister, always, 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 true faith produces the fruit of obedience in our lives. Responsibility and obedience. We have to take care, we have to be responsible to take care of our bodies. Then we can go to the Lord and pray and seek the face of God. And I understand, hey, our bodies are corruptible flesh. There's no way around it. The Bible says it's true. Our bodies are corruptible. Our bodies are decaying. Do you realize that? As you sit here this morning, your body right now is going through the process of death. Oh, happy day. We're dying as we sit here this morning. Every several years, every cell in our body is redone. Only the older they get, the more defective they become. And our bodies decay, and our bodies break down, and our bodies die. It's the reality of human beings living in this fallen, sinful world that we're a part in. And unfortunately, disease is a part of that corruption and the breaking down process. And some of the greatest people in the Bible that we read about died with sickness and disease. We read about Timothy, a great man of God in the New Testament who had some kind of stomach problem all the time, and Paul couldn't heal him. Why? Because Paul didn't control the power of God. God controls it, not the disciples or apostles or any other man. God decides who's going to be healed and who's not. In the Old Testament, there was a prophet by the name of Elisha who did twice the miracles of Elijah. Elijah had a great anointing on his life, and Elijah did great miracles from God, but when he left this world, he gave his predecessor, his disciple, Elisha, the mantle to do double the miracles that he did. And did you know that the Bible records that he did exactly double the miracles? And the Bible tells us that when he got old, he got sick and he died. It happens. Somebody asked John Wimber one time about, you know, why do sometimes you pray and people still get sick and they die? And John said, I don't know. Pretty wise answer, ain't it? He said, I know this. He said, more people get healed when we pray for them than get healed when we don't pray for them. So prayer does make a difference. See? And faith does make a difference. But listen, that process of decay, of corruption, of breaking down, of dying, we speed that process up when we don't take care of our bodies. We don't take care of the temple of God. We have responsibility. And we can win in that area if we trust the Lord and we look to Him and we become responsible and do the things that God has called us to do. We can win in that area. We're destined to win. And finally, we're ultimately destined to win over the granddaddy of them all, brother and sister. You and I are destined to win over death itself. Ultimately, brother, and finally, this is what Jesus ultimately came for. Is so that you and I can be victorious over death. And death cannot hold us in its power. And we pass from this life, from this world, right on into the next world, into the presence of God. Jesus said it this way. Let me read for you quickly from the Gospel of John in the 11th chapter. Jesus' good friend Lazarus has passed away. His sisters have sent for Jesus and he's come to be with them in their time of grief. And Jesus says to them in John 11, verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus said, in me you will have victory over the ultimate enemy, which is death itself. And we will pass from this world into the next to spend eternity with God. He likens death, Paul likens death in 2 Corinthians to just taking off a suit of clothes and laying them down. Go to bed tonight and I take off the old sweats and I put on the PJs and I climb under the warm covers. And death is going to be just like that, just taking off one suit of clothes and putting on another suit that the Bible says is the glory of God, to be clothed with a body that is incorruptible, to spend eternity with God. And so we shall be. And in that, brother and sister, you and I have our hope. Not in anything of this world, even the good blessings of this world that God wants to give to us. Our hope can't be in those things. Our hope has to be in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must lay our lives in His hands. And when we give ourselves to Him and we are His forever, He will see to it that we will pass from this life into the next and into His glory to be with Him forever. And we have triumphed over death, hell, and the grave because of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. That is your children today who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are destined to win over everything, every obstacle, every mountain, every circumstance, even and ultimately over death itself, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. Thank you, God. Bless you, Lord. We'll bring our service to a close by you standing with me in an attitude of prayer for a few moments. Would you stand? And let's just meditate on the Lord and fix our attention on Him together this morning. You're here to be a witness, church. You're here to be a witness, child of God. And God wants to bless your life and give you victory, give you peace and joy and power and love, so that the world will look at you and see these things and long for the Jesus that's filled your heart. Thank you, God. Before we go, I simply encourage you today, as a believer in Jesus, if you've not been walking faithfully with the Lord, and we know when we're not walking the path that we're supposed to, for the most part, if we'll be honest with ourselves, would you make a quality decision this morning before you leave this little room here today? Would you make a quality decision to make a decision for the Lord today to renew that walk with God? If we're going to have what the people of the Bible had, and we can. We've got to do what they did. We've got to live like they lived. We've got to sell out for God the way they did. We've got to walk with Jesus the way they did. We can do that because God's given us His Holy Spirit to help us do that. All God's looking for from you and me is a decision to give Him permission with a divine yes. Would you do that today? Renew your walk with the Lord today, just right where you're standing right now, just between you and God. Would you renew your walk with the Lord today? Remembering there are no spectators in the family of God. Do you know there's no fence sitting? There's no lukewarmness. Revelation said, Jesus says to the lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. Jesus said, no fence sitting. You're either for me or you're against me. Make a choice. Choose life today, church. Choose Jesus. If you've never received the Lord, if you've never asked Him to forgive your sins, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you consider opening your heart today and inviting Jesus in, giving Him your life, making a decision from this day forward to live your life for His glory and the power of His Spirit? Would you make a choice like that so that God can begin to manifest His blessings in your life as His child? Give your heart to Jesus today. Lord, we look to You. Without You, we are poor, we are blind, we are naked, we are miserable, and we are wretched. Thank You, Jesus, that in spite of all of our failure, sin, shortcoming, You still love us. You still reach out to us. You still beckon us and call us to come. We answer today, Lord, with a divine yes. We're coming to You, Jesus. We're chasing after You with all of our heart. We're desiring You with all of our soul. We want nothing less, nothing more, but nothing less than all of you. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, I commit these precious people into your hands today. I pray that somehow you take this simple message and make sense out of it to their understanding. And somehow through what we've shared this morning, Lord, you would use this time and this message to draw every one of us closer to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your faithfulness, your renewal of our lives here today. Watch over and keep us as we leave and go our separate ways. Thank you, God, for making us witnesses for Jesus. Amen. Let's sing together. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day. Till your likeness may be seen in me. Thank you so much for being with us today. We love you guys. If we can do anything for you personally, please give us a call. Have a great week in the Lord. We hope to see you sometime this week or next Sunday morning.